Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Right, turn to 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 for a minute. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. The holiday club this week was awesome. How many of you were involved in that this week? You'd know a lot more than I would. I was down here Wednesday. We had around about 300 people here each afternoon, most of which don't know Jesus. And lots of parents, lots of children, great atmosphere, great vibe going on. And, you know, God is just increasing the opportunities for us to see people's lives really touched by him. And I know a lot of you were here different afternoons helping to run the hub, just serving, greeting, chatting to people, just creating a great environment for people to be in. So I just want to thank any of you that are involved in any way, shape or form to make the Holiday Club happen. You know, in the last few weeks, you just see an increase, as we said last week, of the amount of people that don't know Jesus yet just come in here. And we said last week that during this season of time, this building really, for us, is an it represents for us an oasis. It's a place where people can come to find life, to find peace, to find security, to find Jesus, to find health, to find purpose. You know, because the people here, that's us lot, we've already found hope. Jesus has already found us. We've already been healed. God has already done stuff in our lives. And so we're an amazing opportunity, and we have great privilege, and you'll be able to then serve others and give others the same opportunity for them to also find Jesus in their lives. So it's an exciting time. It's a great time. And obviously this coming week, everybody's back to school. Little Builders is back up and running Tuesdays and Thursdays. Friday night club's happening on Friday. Whatever else we call. What do we call Wednesday morning? Just the hub. The hub is open on a Wednesday morning. And again, lots of people coming. So if you're around during the day or any of those times, it's a great opportunity just to be here, to build relationship, to reach out, to connect with people that don't know Jesus yet, but also connect with one another. And I know of situations where people in the body came struggling with something. They had a chat with somebody else who's part of the church. They ended up praying together and just seeing God do something really powerful in their lives. So it is as much as we want to reach people that don't know Jesus yet, also, it's a great environment to be in where we can bless one another as well. So, again, opportunities during the day. But I want to kind of just follow on for a few minutes from last week and just build a little bit on maybe some of the vision side of it. There was the missional bit, you know, in terms of talking about this place as an oasis. And for this season of time, this building really is here to serve us in terms of the vision and what God's given us. It's also during this season for us as a body, as a church, to learn really how to utilize and maximize this building as an oasis for people in the community, leading into what we end up building at Roffey, that's for the whole region, that we need to understand how do we use this facility to serve the purpose of the vision that we have, so that as we move into something that's on an altogether different scale to this building and everything that's going to be going on there, we've already learned in one sense how to move with God, how to do certain things here, so that when we move to a much bigger facility and what that's going to look like and what that'll entail, then we're not just kind of stepping in completely green, completely with no idea of what we're doing. And that's part of changing some of our mindset and the way we are as a church to become even more missional in our daily life as individuals, as a body of people. And as I said last week, and I know I said at the time I'm prophesying, and actually I really do believe it was a prophetic statement, that the next season of this season that we're in, for many of us in this room, the season of growth for you is to disciple other people. And that's where you're going to grow. If you've just recently come to know Jesus, you're in a completely new season in your life where God's found you, you're coming to know God, and things are just happening in a new way. But also for you, you know, even though you recently might have only come to know Jesus, the heart of God is for you also to help other people come to know Jesus and then help them in the same way that others are helping you at this time to grow in the things of God. And so, you know, that's part of this season that we have, that we're in now. So let's have a look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Easy one to remember, 2 Tim 2, 2. We'll just read verse 1, just so that we read from the beginning of the chapter. Paul's saying to Timothy here, you then, my son. Interesting here, because we're going to look at this sonship thing in a minute. He calls him a son. So there's a kind of relationship here that is more than an acquaintance. It's more than just a contact or a connection. He's saying to Timothy here, you then, my son. So there's a relationship there that is, there's a closeness, there's a depth. There's something that's been going on for a period of time. Sonship doesn't just happen overnight. A baby can be born and he's your son or your daughter straight away. But that relation of sonship is something that grows and develops over a period of time. So he's not just speaking to him as, you know, Timothy as a mate or Timothy as an acquaintance somewhere. He's saying, you then, my son, out of a depth of relationship, out of a period of input and investment into his life, he's saying, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say, the things that I've invested into you, what I've poured into your life, the things that you've seen and evidenced in my own life, as I've walked with God and as I've been an example and as I've demonstrated to you, he's saying to him, he said, all the things that you've heard me say and you've seen in my life in the presence of many witnesses, entrust into reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Now, God wants to produce his life in your life, but he also wants to produce that life in your life into other people's lives. Now, Paul the Apostle was looking for a lot of fruit here. He was looking for a lot of good outcome. He was looking for a lot of succession, if you like, in this one verse. He says, the things that you have heard me say, now what I want you to do is entrust them, invest them, put them into other reliable men who are then also going to teach others. So he's kind of talking as Paul saying, I've got all this stuff in me, in my relationship with God and the things I understand, the things that I live, and I want to invest that, I'm investing that into you, but I'm investing it into you in such a way that you can then invest that into somebody else who then is going to invest that into somebody else. So Paul is looking for succession here. He's looking for fruitfulness here. He's not just looking for how his own life is going to be good in God or how his own life is going to be fruitful in God in terms of God blessing him. But he's saying, no, I'm looking at being fruitful or successful in the things of God to not just what do I do with you, but I'm looking at that succession or that fruitfulness in terms of what you then put into somebody else. So Paul is saying here, I'm checking out my own life here and I'm seeing if I'm fruitful, not with how I just show you how to live, but if you can then take all of that and put that into somebody else, and then they go and put that into somebody else. So Paul is looking at his own life and saying, right, my fruitfulness is not determined by how good I preach, or how good I might be with my family, or how good I might be at work, or how good I might be in my own. I'm looking at what three lots of people are going to produce or see in their life as a result of what's happening in mine. That's quite a bar, isn't it, to set? But that's Paul's heart, and that's what he's saying to Timothy. He's saying, right now, Timothy, as a son, I want you to invest in some others, have your own sons, as it were, spiritual sons, who are then also going to have their spiritual sons. So it kind of raises the question a little bit as we're going into this whole discipleship academy, as we want to really get embedded into the culture of who we are. What's a culture? A culture is an environment for something to grow in. A culture is your kind of principles, it's your convictions, it's the things you live by, all right? So part of our culture is made up by the truth of God's word, okay? But also part of that culture is the way we express the life of God's word, of what it says in the Bible. So a culture is an environment of life that's going to produce life. It's an environment for something to grow in. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, look, I've created an environment that you've grown in, but I want you to take that environment, that culture, so that others can then also come to know Jesus, be discipled or grow in the things of God. Then they go and reproduce that in other people's lives. So it kind of raises some questions here about the Christian life. What is the Christian life? a lot of Christianity is based upon you as a person and you having a better life. But actually, the Great Commission is really Jesus's kind of command, if you like, to what the Christian life looks like in practice, in reality. See, Jesus said to these guys, as we said last week, he had his own commission, and he gave that to some of the disciples when he called them. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Then when he was going to go up to heaven, he said to these guys before he left them, he said, here's your mission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. So even Jesus is saying here, right, I've lived my life, I've invested all kinds of things into you. Now I want you to go and make disciples and teach others to obey, teach others to live in everything that I've invested into you. So Jesus is looking for more than just how the disciples are going to live. What he's looking for is that they're going to reproduce the same life in others that he put into them. So Jesus is looking again for succession, for a longer outcome than just what he's done in his own life. And so there's a question that is kind of raised. It's a bit of a challenge for all of us. What is a Christian? What does a Christian look like? Is a Christian somebody that has come to know Jesus and then has a relationship with God, is part of a church, and then gets involved in stuff, but it ends there? Is that a Christian? Well, a Christian is somebody who has a relationship with God, somebody who has been forgiven, somebody where the power of sin has been broken off their life. That is a Christian. But actually, what is the mandate then for a Christian what is it then a Christian is supposed to live out in terms of having received salvation from God, having been forgiven from all the things that they've done wrong that has separated them? Then there's a mission to be lived. There is a lifestyle to be lived. And Jesus describes that lifestyle and that mission as go and make disciples of all nations. So it kind of raises the question from Matthew 4 verse 19, where it says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Are we following if we're not fishing? Are we following if we're not fishing? Because Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So if we're following Jesus, and this is what this Discipleship Academy is all about, and this is what it's not just a course, but the whole thing's to embed this culture in our lifestyle the way we are, that if we're following Jesus, then firstly, we're going to be fishing. Fishing for what? For people to come to know Jesus. But what does that look like as far as Jesus is concerned? He said, go and make disciples of all nations. So if we're going fishing, what are we looking for? Not just people to give their lives to Jesus, but we're looking for people then to become a disciple. Somebody that is following Jesus, somebody who has been saved, if you like, or forgiven for all their sin, people have given their lives to Jesus, then they're then walking that out in a daily relationship with God. Maybe initially it's just getting their own life in line with God, but it's then to work out God's plan for each one of us, his plan of salvation, which is to make disciples. So no matter what sphere of life we're called into, no matter what our jobs are, what our careers are, wherever we are in this season of life, God wants us to be making disciples. Now, many people we know in church life, whether it's here or wherever, many people have never really been discipled. There's only a certain amount you can do from the front. Jesus understood that. That's why he had 12. He spent a lot of time with them. He had a stronger relationship with three. Then he had 12. Then he had 72 that he sent out, that they were disciples as well. So he had a wider body of disciples. And then we know that on the day of Pentecost, there were 120. Then he appeared to the 500, and Jesus picked the 12 apostles out of a whole bunch of disciples, because he said he called his disciples to him and then he designated 12 as apostles. So he actually had more than 12 disciples in terms of how we know. We sometimes think Jesus only had 12 disciples. He had more than 12. He had 12 apostles, but more disciples. Now, sometimes when we talk about this kind of stuff, discipling people might not sound like the most exciting thing to be doing. Because how many of you know that we're people? How many of you know people don't always do what you want them to do? How many of you know that you've got kids? They don't always do what you want them to do, do they? And you're working with people's character. You're working with people, personality. They've got a will. They've got emotions. They've got their own thoughts and thinking and all of that. And that's why we got to use the Word, because our lives line up with the Word. It transforms us by the renewing of our mind. We submit to the truth of God's Word and all of that in our lives. So we need the Word and everything to know how to live and how to think right and how to treat others and how to live life in the way that God wants us to. So we've got an exciting time ahead of us, okay? So this exciting time ahead of us isn't just about getting people into a building or reaching more people in the community or reaching more people in the 25-mile radius or reaching more people all over the nation or hooking up with Kingdom Faith churches here and there and other partnering churches. It's not just about numbers and having more people. What did Jesus say? He says, go and make disciples. So this season is going to be about what you and me, what we as individuals invest into other people's lives. It's not about converts, because you don't find that word really in there. What you find is disciples, people that are growing in the things of God. That's quite a challenge, because if one of the ways we look at being fruitful, or we understand being fruitful, is what are we investing into somebody else's life, then it's like, right, okay, who am I investing in then? What am I doing? Okay, let's have a look at, 1 Corinthians 4 for a moment, and just have a look at this for about 10 minutes in these verses here, because this is supposed to be encouraging this morning, not a heavy one. It's a lot quieter this week than last week. I was excited last week with everything, and this week's a little bit more putting feet on it, and what does it really look like? And we've spoken about some of this before, but I really felt God say, we need to just go through this again for a few minutes in relation to where we're going. There's a couple of things I believe God wants to do this morning as well. So let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14. This is Paul the Apostle writing to the Corinthians. He's talking about what it means to be an apostle and how the challenge of that, some of the difficulties of that, and some of the opposition there is in that. And he's just describing, before he gets to this verse, some of those things and what he's been going through. But then he says in verse 14, my purpose in writing like this is not to put you to shame, but to warn you because you're my dear children. That's interesting. Straight away, he's speaking to them like they're his kids, they're his children. And they are spiritually. So he's speaking as a father to the Corinthians, okay? Then he says, you may think that you have 10,000 protectors or 10,000 teachers because you are in Christ, but you do not have many spiritual fathers. And this is what I became. I became your spiritual father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So instead of standing on your pride, I beg you to follow my example. Because he was obviously addressing some of the things that are going on in the Corinthian church there, some of the negative stuff that was happening in terms of their lifestyles and the way they were treating each other. So he was addressing that, saying, look, I beg you to follow my example. This is why I'm sending Timothy to you. He is both like a son. Now, we've already seen that he's raised Timothy up as a spiritual son, as it were. And he's saying, he is both like a son whom I love and someone who is faithful to the Lord. So there's character in there. He will remind you of the way I live in Christ Jesus, the way of life that reflects what I teach in all the churches. Okay, six things really quickly here, right? Firstly, what's Paul talking about? He speaks to the Corinthians and he's talking about a relationship. I'm coming to you as a father speaking to his children, okay? And what I want you to do, I want you to grow and mature in everything that God wants you to. So firstly, he's establishing relationship, okay? But also he speaks about Timothy as a son. So there's been an investment into Timothy's life, okay? He's raised him as a son. There's a relationship there. He's lived his life spiritually open before Timothy, so Timothy can see the spiritual reality of Paul's life with God. But also Timothy shared his life with Timothy, so he can see his life as an example for me to look at, to follow and say, right, that's how you live the Christian life. That's how you live a godly life, okay? So he's talking about relationship. And if there's going to be discipling, there's got to be relationship. It's very difficult to disciple somebody if there's no relationship. And where there's no relationship, sometimes there's no respect. Well, there's no connection. And if somebody doesn't connect with you or respect you, then how can you disciple them? So Timothy couldn't disciple this guy through text messaging. He couldn't disciple this guy through Facebook. He couldn't disciple him through Twittering to him or anything, if you know what that is. It's not a bird. It's a way of communicating on social media, right? He didn't, you know, he had to disciple him by spending time with this guy, building relationship, investing into his life. And so this means that to disciple Timothy meant Paul had a certain lifestyle. He didn't just have a teaching night on Wednesday at 8 o'clock for Timothy to turn up to. And they sat for half an hour and he said, "How are you doing, Timothy?" "I'm doing great." "Are you reading the Bible?" "Yes, thanks." "Are you praying?" "Yeah, all right." "Or how are you doing?" How many people do you ask sometimes and they go, "Hmm. How are you doing?" "Yeah, cool." "And when's your, you know, what's God saying to you at the moment?" "Well, yeah, yeah." It's pretty hard to, you know. So Paul knew that to disciple Timothy, it wasn't going to be an 8 o'clock appointment every Wednesday night for half an hour to check out how he's doing. Because Timothy could tell him anything he wanted to. "Well, yeah, I'm praying. I read this, that the other week. Yeah, God's saying this to me, isn't it?" If he's going to disciple him, Timothy needs to see, what does your life look like? What is it like when everything's going great, but what's it like when you've got a challenge? What's it like when a situation where somebody, you know, is giving you a hard time about something? How do you respond? How do you react to that? And there's something that the reality of Paul's life that Timothy saw and Timothy wanted, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have been there and Paul wouldn't have called him a son because there'd have been no relationship. So firstly, there's relationship. Then what does Paul do? He says here, I'm writing to warn you guys. Now, what does that mean? Basically, Paul understands that if these guys are going to grow in the things of God, he's got to provide some protection. If you have a baby, what's the first thing that happens is you've got to provide a protection for this child to grow. And it can't do anything for itself. So it needs protecting, needs looking after, it needs the right environment in which to grow. And so Paul understands that. And Paul, out of relationship, then provides an environment or a place of protection, first of all, for Timothy to grow in. And so Paul is saying to the Corinthians, look, he said, "You guys, you got to sort some things out, I'm not going to come myself. I'm going to send Timothy, but we need to place some boundaries, some protection, something in place that is solid and good so that you can grow in a right way, in a right environment." And so to disciple somebody, there's got to be relationship, but then what are you doing? You're providing an environment for growth, a place of protection. A place where people can bounce off the walls in a good way without getting hurt and blowing it or whatever. But a place that is safe, a place of one of encouragement, an environment where somebody can grow in, but there are some good boundaries that they can grow within. Okay, so there's relationship, then there's protection. The third thing here that goes on is Paul says, imitate me, follow me, look at my example. So that's a pretty bold thing to say. Now, how many of us, we might not be that bold to say to somebody else, look, follow me and follow my example. Watch my life and copy it. You know, because a lot of the time we'd say, well, that's pretty arrogant. Or that somebody's got a bit of front, you know, to be able to say that to somebody, you know, look at my life. But that's actually what Paul is saying here. If you're going to disciple, what does Jesus say? He said to the 12, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. Teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Okay? Now, teaching doesn't just mean verbally teaching there. The word teaching there means demonstrate. Okay? So it doesn't just mean sit them down in a room and teach them everything. When he says teach them to obey, he's saying demonstrate to them everything that you're living in relation to what I've shown you and how you've been obeying me. So it's a demonstration of life, not a verbalization of life. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, look at my life, follow me, okay? Now, in that process, he then, fourthly, calls Timothy, I'm sending you Timothy, my son, who is faithful. Now, faithful represents character. And when I was praying earlier this morning, God said to me, he said, gifting can only flourish properly if it comes out of godly character. You can have all the gifting in the world, but if it doesn't come out of godly character, you're going to damage yourself and other people. And so, you know, really making disciples is really about discipling in godly character. And then the gifting is going to flourish and thrive in that godly character, in that process of discipling. you know, the gifting is just going to flow out of what God is doing in relation to the character. But what's Paul saying here? He's saying, I'm going to send you Timothy, my son, because he's my son, he's got the same DNA. Because he's my son, he's got the same thinking. Because he's my son, he's got the same heart. Because he's my son, he's got the same kind of spirit. He's got a spirit of faith. He lives something. I can see that in him. And he's not just copying me now. He's carrying something and living that himself. And he's saying to these guys, and he's putting some, he's trusting Timothy as well, which I think is awesome. Because I don't know if you were the person that was, say, for example, there was just the church in Horsham, right? And you were somewhere else in the country and you were travelling around, planting churches, raising up churches and leaders and everything. But you heard that the church in Horsham was a bit all over the place. And if you'd started the church in Horsham and you'd raised up leaders and released them, if you then found out there were all kinds of problems going on there, you, as the person who'd started it, or in Paul's situation, as the apostle, you'd probably think, right, I better go and sort it out. Because I started it, I raised them up, I better go in there. But no, Paul, he doesn't just want to do it all himself. He said, actually, now, have I got a son? Have I got somebody that has got the same DNA, the same heart, the same spirit? Actually, because I could send them and it'll have the same result. And so he's wanting to take Timothy now, calls him a son, but he wants Timothy to begin to move and operate in a different level of just being a son. He now wants him to operate in becoming a bit more of a father. Yes, yes, yes. And for many of us in here, we're all sons of God, okay? But we're also, if like we're sons of the house or we're brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ, if we just... Otherwise, I'm going to have to keep saying sons and daughters, brothers. We're all sons of God, right? We're all sons in the house, as it were, or whatever. We're growing into that. And God doesn't just want you to stay as a son in the house. He wants every one of us to become, if we just use this phrase, spiritual fathers as well. Because Joe, he left home in October, and he's grown up in our house, in our home, and it's been his home. And therefore, he knew he can you know, go to the fridge, he can chill out, he can do this, do that. He doesn't have to ask, can I go into the lounge? Or is it all right if I go into the kitchen? Please, can I have a shower? Or can I go in the garden and play football? He doesn't have to, he can go and have a shower, he can get food out. Do you know what I mean? But yet, he's not being responsible for putting the food in the fridge. He's not being responsible for making sure the house is up to scratch and sorted. And maybe he should have cut the grass more than he did, I don't know, maybe I blew it there. But he's moved out now, and he's still a son. He's still our son, but yet he's now moving into a season where, I mean, naturally he's not going to become a father yet. You can wait till he's married for that one. But God wants him to. What is God doing in this season? He's moving him from just being a son in our house and a son in this house, and now God's got him in an environment for however long to actually now to begin to invest in some other people and to begin to raise up some sons in another environment. But you see, I know he's got the same DNA, same heart, same spirit as we do. So therefore, what's he going to invest in him? He's not going to invest somebody else's DNA. He's going to invest the DNA that God has put in him while he's grown up here. And the understanding, the faith dynamic, all this, whatever he's got in him, he's going to reproduce that in other people's lives. So there's a certain line or measurement or measure of God in him that's then going to be invested into others. So he's going to raise up some other guys with some certain DNA and all of that. So it's a bit of a season to step out and do that for him. For Paul in this situation, he's like, right, I'm not going to go to Corinth myself and sort it out. I'm going to send one of my sons. Because he wanted to help Timothy move from being a son to becoming a father, to function a bit more apostolically in that situation, okay? But that's God's heart for every one of us. We're always going to be sons of the house, always. But God wants us to become spiritual fathers, parents, if you like, of many others that at this moment don't know Jesus, they don't know God. But we need to be ready for, you know, if we had 300 people each afternoon here, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, most of which didn't know Jesus. Now, if 50 of those came to know Jesus in the next week or two, could we handle that? It's a good question, isn't it? That's why we're doing Discipleship Academy. So that when 50 people get saved every week, we can handle it. All right. Because it's not just about a dynamic, it's about your life and my life and what we're investing. But there's a certain lifestyle that comes with it. That's part of the challenge. Because it's not just about knowledge of how to do something, it's the lifestyle of what that looks like. So that's part of the challenge, pull out a lifestyle. Okay, so he sent Timothy, and Timothy was going to grow as a result. Then, fifthly, just quickly, he said, I'm sending you, my son. So there was a confidence that Paul had that he could send Timothy. Many of you in this room, you've known God for many years. There's a maturity there. There's things of the Word you understand. You read the Word. You get revelation from the Word. You've got relationship with God. There's a maturity there, you know, in life with God. And if you like, you know, as a leadership, we're saying, man, we want to send. There's loads of people sitting in this room this morning that we want to send. As in, I don't just mean to the rest of the country, but send out, you know, and a release, a trigger for winning and making disciples in a fresh way. Now, we already have loads of people coming to the building, and I know many of you are reaching out to friends, neighbours, work colleagues that have maybe never come here yet. So it's not just about what happens in here, but there's a trigger. What God said to me Monday morning when I got up, last Monday after Sunday, and got up just spending time with the Lord, and God said to me yesterday, I pulled the trigger. Not me, he did. He said, I pulled the trigger, taking the lid off, and something started now in the church here that we need to really follow through in terms of where we're going and what that looks like, in terms of planting things out across the region, in terms of winning and making disciples, about whatever we build up at Rofi. It's like now there's a release to begin to move into that. The financial situation is still improving every week. It's amazing. And, you know, we're over 100,000 now ahead of the budget that we set in place, you know. And actually this week was the first time all the staff got paid on time and for quite a while. And so God's really turned the whole thing around. We don't have any outstanding, you know, at the end of August when we first were looking at the, well, we were looking at it before that, but when in September when we kind of communicate to everybody, you know, that there was a lot of money. I won't tell you how much it was. There was a lot that we had outstanding that we didn't have the wherewithal to pay for various reasons. But actually now, all of that is cleared. We have one or two bills for a few thousand quid, that's it, that are due. And, you know, so it's like we're blown away by what God's done. But in it all, there hasn't been at any one point a massive gift that's come in. It's not like somebody dropped 100,000 through the door. Or 50 grand through the door. It's just God's faithfulness. I know, and you guys have upped your regular giving, which has been brilliant. And there has been gifts coming in, and we've spent less, and God's been in it, and God's sorting it, and it's awesome what's going on. And so we're going to be out of the whole financial situation we've been in. By the end of August, it will be all cleaned off, sorted, level. Faith Camp, I'll tell you that the favour on Faith Camp this year, isn't it? And John is kind of heading up the project team for that, John Taylor. But the favour on the organisational side and some of what was the Faith Camp is going to be the best one we've ever had, but we're going to run it for about 100 grand less in terms of what actually it's working through. And so that will be a massive blessing, the overall finance and everything. And it's just God's in it. And it's like God said to me the other day, he said, I've got you out of the mire of where you've been and on move shifting sand. And now I've placed you back on solid ground. Now there's a platform just about getting in place now that you can really advance from. And another thing the Lord said to me the other day, now everybody, all of us lot, because of that platform is coming right into place now, and it's on something really solid, and the principles that we're working to and operating to, there's something really solid now that everybody can take their place on this platform that's real solid, but this platform has got a real grippy surface, so people aren't going to slide off it and fall off it, but people can really get a grip on this platform and really begin to advance forward in a way that we haven't been able to. So there's all kinds of things. The operational side of the way we're organised is totally different, or certainly is in the process. Some of it's changed a lot, some still to work through over the next few months. But, you know, it's just a whole... I'm excited about where we're going. That's why, for me, I believe... Because this stuff about the building at Rofi, I've had stuff for about 3 years. But God said, you can't say anything yet. Can't say anything at all. And I knew last Sunday, God had given me, right, now you can begin to speak about it and begin to release something, as well as in the spirit, you know, communicate something to everybody, and about the 25-mile radius, about other things. Because for me, in my spirit, there's just a release now for what God wants to do in terms of really advancing and going forward. And the numbers of people, I know you can say, well, it's just a few, but I think part of the, you know, just the amount of increase in Little Builders, in Friday Night Club, in Wednesday morning, and things these last few weeks, it's jumped from, you know, it's a whole other number and figure altogether. And it's just another little sign of God saying, right, there's a release. You know, of something fresh, and people are looking, people are searching, and we've got to be ready for what God's doing. And so there's an element of sending and being fruitful and everything. And then the last thing is here, it was more than 10 minutes, but there you go. Number six. He says to these guys at the end, I'm sending him to remind you of the way I live in Christ, the way that reflects what I teach in all the churches. Basically, what he's saying is Timothy's carrying something. He's not just coming with a message. He's carrying a lifestyle. He's carrying some authority. There's a weightiness upon his life. And so that's what he's coming with. So I can see that in him. And so I'm sending him on my behalf. And when you think about it, that's what God is doing with us as people on earth. There's a huge amount of trust that God is placing in our lives. Because God could have, you know, God could have thought, I'm going to need to leave Jesus on earth, actually, because I don't trust this lot. But he did think, well, no, Jesus, you can only be in one place at one time because you've now got a physical body. So you come up and I'll send the Holy Spirit. He can be everywhere. So God knew, on, you know. But how many of you know we can do some funny stuff sometimes as people, can't we? Yeah. You know, sometimes we say, I've heard the Lord, and we say that, and then there's no room for actually anybody else to say, well, actually, is it the Lord? Because, well, the Lord has told me. And it's like, well, hang on a minute. You know, let's have a little chat and just, you know, witness something together here. And we come up with some weird stuff sometimes, Christians. But you think God is in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's a massive element of trust here where God is saying, look, here's the Great Commission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And here you go, guys. It's in your hands. That's like, man, how much does God say, right, I'm going to work my plan of salvation out through all of these guys, through every generation of time. And we're in this generation of time now. And God's saying, I'm putting loads of trust in you as people to take the gospel to the fore, to, you know, to make disciples and to see the plan of salvation work out and all of that. And I think, well, if God trusts us like that, then we must be able to trust one another, invest in one another and invest in other people and trust others in terms of what God wants to do in them. So over these next few weeks, God's going to begin to embed into our culture much more of winning and making disciples. And again, that's got to come out of relationship, creates a certain environment for people to then grow in. And but God wants to release us in all of that and become really, really fruitful. And if you're coming to Discipleship Academy, I just want to let you know, we're having the first session tomorrow, okay? It will change your whole perception of what it means to be a Christian, all right? So if you haven't signed up yet, sign up, okay? And it's not just about coming to something, it's about the change of culture around here. How many of you want to be part of changing the culture or it moving forward? Brilliant. And if you're around in the morning, come in the morning. If you're at work and you can't be around, come in the evening. But it's going to shake your world a little bit, okay, in terms of what the Bible actually says about how we live the Christian life and what it really means. I don't mean it's confrontational. I mean, just as we look at the Word, it's going to be like, right, what have I been doing then all my Christian life? It's going to be a little bit like that. Is that okay? So it's going to be good. It's going to be great. And, you know, but I'm just letting you know, some of you might not sign up now. You might think, oh, flipping heck, if it's going to be like that, I ain't going. But it's going to be an encouragement. You'll sit there and you'll be like, that's it then. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to give myself to. Because the Holy Spirit's going to show you something tomorrow and you'll be like, right, my life's going to be different from today because of what God's just shown me in his word. So, and we're going to be different as a people in these coming months. And so let's stand together. We're just going to pray. But I believe it was right to have a response this morning. You know, I started to look up some stuff on the internet yesterday morning about fathering and about stats in the nation. I thought, oh, I'm going to read all these. And I thought, no, that's not right. Just to start bringing out loads of statistics about the lack of fathering and this, that and the other, and all the stuff that's out there. We know there's a problem in society, okay, in lots of different ways. And But in terms of becoming spiritual fathers, man, that's a massive part of the answer. Now, to be a spiritual dad isn't just read the word, pray. That, you know, it's being an example to somebody. Now, we know that society in different ways, there's increasing amount of breakdown in marriage and relationships and kids growing up in different environments. And we're aware of all of that. And, man, as a church, you know, with our own wider family, there's guys in this room, lots of blokes in here, that God wants you to become spiritual dads to some of the younger guys that maybe don't have a dad because of whatever reasons. And, you know, we want to make sure that all of our young guys, the lads that have grown up and the girls, it's not just being a dad to the young lads. There's also girls that are growing up in an environment where they don't have a father at home. And that when you start talking about being a dad to a daughter in that sense, or whatever, a spiritual dad or whatever, let's put it that way, to a girl, then, you know, because of all the stuff that goes in society now, it's like, hang on, what about, you know, child protection policies and everything goes off the wall then, you know what I mean? As if you, we talk about that from church, whoa, are you sort of, it's like, no, come on, let's get a grip. You know, we want all of our children, whatever environment they're growing up in, to grow, you know, in the things of God and to become everything that God has got his hand on their life to become, you know. And so maybe there's some politically correct things that people say out there, you can't, you know. But actually, if we're going to see our children, whether male or female, grow in the things of God, we've got to make sure that even if they are in a mum and dad situation, or they're just at home with their mum or with their dad, whatever the environment, we want them to grow up to be a healthy part of the body, all of our children, no matter what environment they're growing up in. And so there's an area of being a spiritual father that's not just about winning people out there that don't know Jesus yet, but also within our own body, you know, where we take kids on and we spend time with families and we develop. And partly that's what life groups are all about, yeah. Actually. Yeah. That's a great context, life group, because we're all in life groups. If you're not, you want to be part of one, because that's where we share life, do life and all of that. It's not what does life group do for me, it's what do I do for the life group? What do I do for the people in it? If you go with that attitude, man, it's going to be awesome and be part of something, not just go to a thing, but part of the lives of people. But that's a great environment for family, to invest in other kids and to invest in other families and to help create an environment that is secure, that is that protection thing was talked about earlier, you know, an environment to grow in. So I've got a couple of questions, and we haven't got time to come down the front this morning, but there's two things. First, how many of you want to be a spiritual father? And that, I don't mean just blokes. I mean just in terms of the phrase we've been using this morning. How many just want to be spiritual fathers? And just raise your hand for a moment if that's what's in your heart, because I believe that, you know, Father, I want to win and make disciples. I want to fulfill the Great Commission. I want to respond to what your word is in this season. Father, I want to be part of helping to shape the culture of Kingdom Faith in this new season of not just reaching out to people or having more people come to something, but actually part of this culture of discipleship being embedded into my life, this lifestyle where I'm looking beyond my own life. I'm looking to invest in other people's lives. I'm looking to bear fruit, not just in my own life, but see that, but see others bear fruit, and then they in turn invest in others that then bear fruit. Father, I want to be part of that kind of lifestyle that you've given me as a believer and you've put into our lives as a church. So if that's what is in your heart, just raise one of your hands at the moment. We're just going to pray and just invite God to begin to do something fresh in your heart towards other people. But also there's a practical implication to that. One of that is probably coming to Discipleship Academy. But also it's like, Father, would you change my perception where I've just lived my Christian life geared more around myself? And I thank you, Father, that you would work in my heart to work to that tipping point, that maturing point, where I look beyond my own life now. And in this season, Father, because I'm part of the church here, I understand that this season of growth is going to be investing into somebody else's life and not just seeing what others can invest into my life. So, Father, I want to get to that tipping point. Tip me over, as it were. Let the penny drop, Father, that I can begin to invest in others. Yes. in a way that I haven't had before. I thank you that I'm in this new season as part of the church. Therefore, there's grace right now for this season that you've already been given. So I choose to step into the grace of this season now to begin to win and make disciples in a way that I've never had before. Father, I want to be part of helping to shape the culture and the life and dynamic of the church here in a fresh way that I'm part of making that happen. Father, I thank you for every person in this room that wants to be part of that culture shaping dynamic of discipling, of living beyond our own lives and looking to invest in others. Father, I thank you for the giftings, the skills, the people in this room, the incredible depth and the wisdom, the maturity amongst the whole body in different ways. Father, I thank you. Now's the time for that lot to be released in a fresh way in this town and across this region and beyond. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now also, there might be some of you this morning that you're, especially the blokes in the room, and where it's like, I want to be available to invest in some, first of all, some other young lads' lives. Maybe in your life group, you know some situations where there are children, girls and boys, you know, in their home environment and only with one of their parents. And it's like, I know it's sometimes not an easy subject to talk about, okay? But actually, we want to create such a secure environment as a family for all of us to be in. And in the right way, that we help to spiritually parent, if you like, all of our children, but particularly those that maybe don't have a dad at home or something, and how we can encourage and strengthen those families and be in those relationships, you know, in terms of encouraging those. So if you know as a bloke, that it's like, man, I want to invest in some of the younger guys in the church here, then I just want you to talk to the Lord for a minute and say, God, I'm available for doing that. As part of the life group, we'll invest in the other families. We'll invest in the children that are part of our life group. Part of the church. We got awesome children's leaders and workers in the church here. They do an awesome job with J247, seniors and juniors. They've got such a heart for our children. The way they invest in them, the way they pray for them, the stuff they plan and prepare and all of that. And they've got such a heart for them because they see what God wants to do now in our children's lives and what is possible in the things of God. But you don't have to be a children's minister to think, well, what can I do? Actually, sometimes just being a good friend, role model, that can, and just spending some time with some of the younger guys, we can organise that in different ways and all of that. But so if that's in your heart, just make yourself available at this point. Say, Father, I'm available for that. I want to invest into some of the younger children, the lads in the life of the church. Father, I thank you as we look at this stuff, the whole discipling thing, this whole environment. Father, I thank you for the wisdom out to move that forward, what to put in place. But I thank you for the men in this church. Some of you guys have been through some rough stuff when you were growing up and God's healed you, sorted you out. And actually, you've got a lot to then give into other children. Maybe some that are in the church, maybe others that are not here yet, but they're going to be part of the church in these coming weeks and months as people come and get added into the life of the church. There's a lot of stuff God's done in you that you can then invest and put into others. Man, some of you got a wealth of stuff because of what God's done. So, Father, I thank you for the mobilizing of people in this body in these coming months, these coming weeks and months, and the release of that, the trigger of that into other people's lives within the body and those that are going to get added in these coming weeks and months. Father, I thank you for fresh grace upon us as a church, as a people. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I think God wants to change some of our attitude as well, maybe towards the life groups for us are the context that we have to share life on a smaller scale than just everybody together. Maybe God wants to change some of our ways of thinking about life groups and that in terms of what they are, what they do. But if we see them as a place of relationship, a place of connecting with people, a place of sharing life and doing life together, if we see them like that, which is really the heart of them, then our whole approach to one another will be different than just, oh, I'm attending that or going to that. We've tried to break down that attendance thing or that just one night by making it much more of a lifestyle together. It's a connecting point. It's a relationship centre. It's a place where people can find security, find people that are going to encourage and support them. So, Father, I thank you just in these coming weeks and months that you do just a fresh work in us as a church. We seek to walk all this out, that something fresh would just be, well, it is being released. I thank you for the strengthening of that, the growing of that, the maturing of that. I thank you, Father. Praise your awesome, wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.